Hi, and welcome to my very first episode of Unfuck Yourself with Kat Alexander. So I'm a little nervous, and but today is the day I'm just gonna kick this off. Today's episode is about abuse that parents suffer at the hands of their kids. So if that is something you have gone through or know someone who has, please listen in. About almost two decades ago, my son was 10 years old, and one day he beat the snot out of me. My landlord was in a neighboring apartment and heard the commotion and knocked on my door. When I opened the door, I did not realize there was blood on my face, and he asked me, he said, "Kat, who did this to you?" And I said my son's name, and he looked, and my son was just kicking back with his hands literally behind his head, you know, just interlaced his fingers, and his legs outstretched and crossed over one another, and he was watching an episode of the sitcom Friends. And my landlord looked back at him and looked at me, and he said, "I'm gonna have to go through your apartment." I said, "Okay." And the dripping from the blood made me rub my nose, and then I saw the blood. I'm like, "Oh, crap." Anyway, the landlord went through the apartment, every closet, every door, came back out and looked at my son and said, "Did you do this to your mother?" And he said, "Yeah." And my landlord looked at me and he said, "He's going in." And he said, "This time he's not getting out of this." My son had been a handful for years. He had been diagnosed with bipolar, oppositional defiant. He had attempted to hit me with a broom right as a police officer was walking in the door one day, and he got a severe warning. The police officer was there because someone heard the yelling going on in my apartment. I couldn't get my son to leave the apartment to go to school, so a neighbor had called the police to make sure everything was okay. And anyway, this time I had two landlords. One did service work on the apartment buildings, and the other was a police officer by trade during the normal hours. And so they called him, and he came and took my son, and my son was placed in a placement for children who had behavior problems for a little while, and he had a court date, and he had to earn his way back to be able to come home. And he'd had lots of trouble and been in therapies of different kinds, and I was given a list of things I had to do as well. That started a very long process for several years before I eventually lost custody of him. His behavior was amplified while he was in placements and homes to correct his behavior, in hospitals because of his out of control behavior and needing the strongest supervision. And eventually the state stepped in because they thought they could get him some better programming. Many years later, my son came to live with me after he was emancipated from his adopted home. Whole different story. And my son lived with me for 7 of the last 8 years. I had to call the police on him in 2017 because he tried to choke me and told me that the next time he did it, he would finish the job. He has hit me, he has shoved me to the ground. He held me hostage for many hours in 2018 or 19, and was on the phone with his cousin telling him he wasn't gonna let me go this time, but he eventually did. And in 2023, he had an episode, and the culmination of it was on one night in early fall when he said he was going to go live with his girlfriend, and he was quite upset with me. And I happened to be on the phone, and the person on the phone lived in a different state and was part of the 12-step program I'm a part of. And I'd known this person on Zoom meetings for 4 years, and he was quite concerned, and he said, Miss Kat, you need to get out of there. My parents had mental issues, and I'm hearing the same things out of your son, and I'm very concerned. And I said, oh no, Kevin, he's not gonna do anything, because he saw that I was on the phone the whole time. And my son, with his personality, always wants me to look like I'm crazy, so he would never act up in front of people. He's very charming, very intelligent. I said, he does not know if you're someone from work around here in the neighborhood. So he's not going to do anything. I'll see you on Zoom in an hour. I'll be good. And he said, well, Miss Kat, I'm just telling you, if someone were to come along and say, hey, Kat, get in the car, let's take off for a weekend, then get in that car. Do you hear me? And I said, okay, I'll see you in an hour. Everything will be fine. Well, I really believed it at that time, because that, you know, that had been the history with my son, that if he did anything in front of somebody that could cause any kind of concern, then he would be on really good behavior for a while. But 40 minutes later, he wanted me to come into his room. He had supposedly taken leftover psychiatric meds, supposedly enough to kill himself earlier in the day, but he wasn't dead, and I don't even know what he took, actually. And he was saying he still didn't feel good, and he wanted me to spend the evening in his room checking on him. And I had done that before, and what happened the previous couple times was he took my phone, he blocked the door. He's 6'3", 240, and I'm 5'5", 180. And he would physically manhandle me, not let me out of the room, and just wanted me to stay in there for the evening in his paranoia, and keep checking his forehead to make sure his head wasn't swelling due to recreational drugs, and check his heart rate by putting my hand on his chest. But he would never go to the hospital or go on an ambulance or anything like that, so there was really no point. So what I had told him was around 8 p.m. when I was getting off the phone with Kevin, and he called me in the room, what I told him was, if you need to go to the hospital, then you can call them, or I will call them, but I'm not coming in your room. You're not going to trap me in there, and I'm not doing it. So he wanted a phone. He said his was dead, and I said I would get him one of mine. I had two at the time, and I went back in my room, and I started to take notes because I had been taking notes about what was going on in our lives and my anxiety level. And I momentarily forgot about getting him the phone. Within 2 minutes, like I really had not been writing very long, within a couple minutes, he came in and walked calmly right up to me, sitting on my bed, and proceeded to punch me on one side of my temple, and then punch the other side of my head, and then punch the original side of the head again, grab me with his arm around my neck and restrain me. I eventually got loose. He let me go, and eventually, and when I went to the bathroom, I realized I could not go back in my room. I was not safe like I had thought. So when I opened the bathroom door, I went straight for the front door, and literally the door next to our front door was in the apartment building. The door next to us was a pizza place that was vibrant and alive and well at that time of night. And I went in there and called the police and then called my boss. The police came, he was gone, and I went to stay with my boss and then with some friends until they arrested my son. That's my experience. In a brief nutshell, there are years and years of things that happened. But the reason I'm talking about it today and starting this podcast with this topic, which was not going to be my original topic, is because I attend a group in recovery, and today people were talking about their grandchildren. And as different people were talking about it and showing pictures, I became real irritated in my spirit. And I realized it's a whole bag of worms for me. My son was put in jail and was released, but I had moved, and I have not seen him since last year. But the idea of having grandkids is very painful for me because, one, I don't know that I'll ever see grandkids because right now I don't have intentions on seeing my son. He's going to be even more dangerous to me now that I had him put in jail a second time. There's also, when you see children, there's also all those thoughts of what you did right, what you did wrong, what you could have done, why did things happen the way they happened. And just with my son's personality, there's the truth that at any time, if I did get to know a grandchild, he could just take that grandchild out of my life. So, so when I got home today, I felt like going to sleep, and just tuning out. And I thought, oh, I better call my friend Suzanne and tell her I wasn't going to the meeting tonight. You know, that I'd been triggered in class and was just very sad. And so I thought, let me look on YouTube and see if I can find any videos about dealing with grief, domestic violence grief when you've suffered domestic violence at the hands of your adult child, won't be seeing your adult child. For me, it's extra painful. I was adopted, so my son is my only biological relative I've ever known for a long time. I've met a couple and talked to a couple, but I don't know my other relatives. And I'm in my 50s, so my adopted family, my parents have both passed on, and my brother lives in a different state, and most of my relatives are gone now. So it's a whole big, tumultuous nest of snakes in my belly. But what really pushed the envelope for me was trying to find something on YouTube about this. I found one video. It was just over 5 minutes long. It was from London, and it was about the increasing volume of calls they get at the police stations in London, that in 2012 there had been somewhere around 800 calls about adolescents and teens and older children making violent attacks against parents. And then in 2016, it had gone to 1,800 or something like that. But other than that, all I could find were videos about parents abusing their children. Now, when I tell you I never hit my son, I grew up with spanking. I tried to spank my son. That's the truth. I couldn't. I don't know if you've ever had a child that's a wiggle worm or not, but my son, he could full body wrestle me when he was 4 years old. And he just could get away from me. And the other thing was, I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I would want to do it. I would try to do it. I couldn't. Like, he would just laugh. Like, I could not put any strength behind it. I could not. So, it's not something my son ever saw. I had two intimate partner domestic relationships where I was abused, but my son did not live with me during that time. But he knows I was abused. And at one point, he did say to me, when he threatened to hit me, I had told him if he did, I would call the police. And he said, "What? You let so-and-so abuse you for 4 years and you're gonna call on me once?" I mean, that's the kind of thinking he had. Now, some of you don't relate to this, and you may or may not even believe this, but there are some of you out there that have had this. And I know that because when I moved this last fall and went to a recovery center, I was in a 12-step group one night, and I was sharing, which was rare for me, but I was sharing, and I said something about my son hitting me and probably not seeing him again. And when I was done sharing, another woman spoke up and said, "Kat, I'm glad you shared that. My son, who happened to be the age of my own son, her son had hit her too and knocked her tooth out." And then a couple months later, I was in another group in a class, and there were six or eight of us, and something had triggered thoughts of my son again, and I just didn't share a lot in these groups, but I broke down that day and was crying and saying something about it. And literally two or three other women said they had been hit by their children. And the other four or five women had all hit one of their parents several times. So this is not, and that is a recovery center for drugs and alcohol. So this is not something that is random. And let me read to you what I found today. It's on a site called Link, L-I-N-K, dot Springer, S-P-R-I-N-G-E-R, dot com. And it's talking about adolescent to parent violence. And it says, Statistics drawn from national databases highlight the magnitude of adolescent to parent violence through total reported incidences. Examples include statistics such as 18,000 children under the age of 21 reported to law enforcement for adolescent to parent violence across 22 states during 1 year. 108,000 acts of adolescent to parent violence over a 10-year period, and 56,000 instances of assault or intimidation against a parent or a step-parent across 34 states during 1 year. Those statistics are from 2009 and 2015, so I can only imagine what they are now. Statistics as old as 2009 and 2015 showing hundreds of thousands of incidents. It's very sad. I just want you to know, if you're out there, if you're being called names, if you are being told what a shitty, fucked up parent you are, maybe you did make mistakes. Maybe you did make choices. Sometimes they were rotten. Sometimes maybe you just didn't, you're just codependent and weak and your child is feeding off that. Whatever the case is, violence in the home is not good. And if you are in a position where your child is physically violent against you, you need to get help. Please. Reach out to somebody and get help. That's the end of our first episode. It's just a little introspect into me. And I wanted to just reach out and give other adults a little taste that you're not alone. You need to step in and get some help. Don't let it continue. You may not be safe. Thank you, and I will see you again. This is Kat Alexander.